Today, the Church celebrates the Feast of Divine Mercy. The message of Divine Mercy is not really a new message. It's something that has always been out there. The Lord has always wanted His people to be aware of His mercy for sinners who turn from their sins and seek reconciliation with God. That's always been a message of the Christian faith. Jesus Himself has said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus has a particular desire, a particular hope to share His mercy with those who are in most need of it. Over the centuries, this theme has come up in the messages of many mystics. You might, maybe you're familiar with the Sacred Heart that Jesus came and appeared to St. Mary Margaret Alacoque. And again, when He appeared to St. Faustina, Sister Faustina, Jesus asked that there be established in the Church a Feast of His Mercy, whereby extraordinary graces be offered to those who seek this mercy. Now, in particular, Jesus wanted it known that those who put their trust in Him would be given the grace they need to be forgiven their sins and bear their hardships. One of the important messages of divine mercy is to trust in God. How difficult it is for us at times to trust that God desires our good, especially when we're suffering, when we're experiencing suffering in our lives. Consider St. Thomas today in the Gospel. He wasn't there with the other apostles, and when Christ appeared, you know, He gave them this consoling message, peace be with you, and so forth. But was this an accident that Thomas was missing? You know, did he just, oh shoot, I meant for you to be there, Thomas, but I forgot that you weren't there. So is that what happened? Well, I think not. I think God in His providence allowed this to happen, where Jesus knew that Thomas wasn't there yet, and yet He chose to come and depart before he arrived. Now, what was Thomas doing when he was absent? We don't know that, right? We don't know that part of the story. Maybe he was out doing some errand for the apostles, getting groceries or something, who knows. Maybe he was doing something that he shouldn't have been. Maybe he was off trying to distract himself from the sorrow that he felt in his heart. The point is, we don't really know. But imagine him coming back then, and the other apostles are all excited. Jesus was here! You just missed Him, Thomas. Too bad. You know, rats, huh? That'd be kind of a bummer. The risen Lord coming and you missed out. Thomas kind of refuses to believe this, right? That's where he gets his name, Doubting Thomas. Perhaps he thought that they were playing a trick on him. In his mind, right? It's not surprising. Dead people don't rise, right? Dead people don't rise up and come and appear. Well, they do now, Thomas. St. Gregory the Great says this in regard to Thomas. It was not by chance, but in God's providence, in a marvelous way, God's mercy arranged that the disbelieving disciple, in touching the wounds of his master's body, should heal our wounds of disbelief. The disbelief of Thomas has done more for our faith than the faith of the other disciples. So, St. Gregory the Great, kind of helping us to recognize this was all part of God's plan to help us, right? We're the ones who, you know, Jesus tells us, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. That's us. We haven't maybe seen the risen Lord, and yet we're called to believe nonetheless. Jesus allows Thomas to probe his wounds. Put your finger here. See my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe. It's an interesting thing that Christ's wounds remain with Him after the resurrection, isn't it? You would think maybe those would be healed in His glorified body. And yet, they are there. They're present. They bear witness to what He has undergone for love of His people, maybe, we might say. It brings up an interesting idea. What will be the wounds that we bear in heaven that will testify to our love for God and for one another? These wounds are not carried in vain. Our acceptance of afflictions, which God allows us to have, will unite us to Christ in this life. What are the wounds that you have, that you carry, that you are at times perhaps wondering if I can even carry these things? Maybe nobody sees them. Perhaps you feel overpowered by them. What are those things that weigh you down? There's a story that's told. Perhaps it's a legend. I don't know the source of it, but I've heard others say it. about St. Teresa of Avila. She was, one day, the devil appeared to her, disguised as Christ. But Teresa wasn't fooled by this for even a second. She immediately dismissed him, and before the devil departed, he asked her, "How did you know it wasn't Jesus? How did you know? How could you see? How could you be sure that it wasn't Christ?" Well, her answer, she said, "Well, you don't have any wounds. Christ has wounds." Submitting to the wounds that God the Father allows us to carry is to be united to Christ. God never allows us to undergo an affliction or an evil unless there is some redeeming quality that can come from that bearing of that suffering or that wound. It's important for us to remember, because we can be overwhelmed by our wounds and think, gosh, what is the point of this? I don't see any redeeming value in this. Whether it's the death of a loved one, some tragedy in your life, some sin that's just got a hold on you and you can't get free of it. Whatever the case is, we have these wounds that we carry. This can be hard to accept. It's important that we remember that God doesn't simply want us to suffer, but he allows us to suffer that good may come of it. Jesus suffered in order to bring about salvation in the world. And when we accept a share in our sufferings, it can be a salvific act too. It is in this sense that there have been saints who have willingly accepted great suffering, or who have even asked to bear even more sufferings. That can be kind of a hard thing to understand, but you know, there are those souls out there who have done that. Therefore, the wounds that we accept in this life out of love for God and for our neighbor have the ability to bring us deeper in this relationship with him. Now, we should distinguish between those wounds which are we afflict upon ourselves, self-inflicted wounds, and those which we accept out of love for God and for others. Those which we are given are for our good, in a sense, if we unite them to Christ. These sufferings which we inflict on ourselves are sinful and will be only redeemed if we seek the mercy of God. But in both cases, we must place our trust in Jesus. So see in these oblations, these little offerings that we experience in our lives, a way to be united to the Lord. Divine mercy is offered to us. Do we place our trust in Jesus? Is it something we are in the habit of doing? Or do we worry? Do we get concerned? Do we put our trust in other things, monetary, ways of supporting ourselves, riches, property, whatever it is? We can put our trust in other things, but Jesus says, "Follow me, trust in me." Jesus, I trust in you. We place our trust in Jesus when we experience our own sinfulness, our own brokenness. Jesus, I trust in you. We place our trust in Jesus when we experience the sufferings at the hands of another. Jesus, I trust in you. We place our trust in Jesus when those who we love are suffering and are in pain. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.